I remember when we broke up the first time, seeing this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ooh.
Awesome, awesome. I want to welcome you to Genesis Church this morning. Had a little just humor in there with our Eve and Adam series. Man, I've been so excited about this morning, looking forward to it, and how God works, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But man, I'm just excited about this Eve and Adam series. Last fall we did a series called Adam and Eve, because some of you are thinking, okay, I thought it was Adam and Eve, not Eve and Adam. But we did a series last fall called Adam and Eve, where I really talked to the guys, challenged the guys, showed them some things. And you ladies, you got the benefit of hearing a little bit about more what it means to be a man, and some of the things that a man deals with. But so this spring, this series, Eve and Adam, really talking about to ladies, and we started out this series the first couple of weeks talking about the lies that women believe. And the two lies that are so dangerous for women, number one is this lie, is that I'm not good enough. And we saw in Genesis chapter 2 through the creation story where God created Adam, and then he created Eve, and then he brought Eve to Adam. And we saw that, and we're going to look at it again today. And the second lie that oftentimes women believe is that I'm not worth pursuing. And whenever a woman believes one of those two lies, it will drastically affect the decisions that she makes in her life every day. And we saw that the truths that are related to that, that counter that, that what God has to say about you ladies is this. The truths that challenge that is that in Christ, I'm accepted. And in Christ, I am complete. And here's the deal. Last week we dove into, we actually tackled this question, are you with the right one? Now, I had some people comment about the message last week. I had some questions before and after. And, I said, challenging this question, are you with the right one? And maybe some of you guys were here last week and you got a little nervous with that message. As maybe you were sitting next to a girl or something like that. Maybe you were even sitting next to your wife and she's looking at you. But we had a good time with it last week. But, this morning I really want to tackle this, the essentially five questions that every single girl should be asking. You say, now why would you target such a small group of people? When you're talking about single girls, why would you target such a small group? Why would you focus on that in an entire message? Well, I want you to do me a favor real quick. If you're a single lady, and what I mean by single this morning is you're not married. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're a single lady, raise your hand. You say, well, we're dating. We've been dating. If he hasn't put a ring on it by now, raise your hand. You're single. Okay, look around. Awesome. See, it's not such a small group after all. Here's the deal. Now, guys, I just set you up. I just showed you every single girl in this room. So you're fishing in a trout pond, bro. I mean, come on. I'm trying to help you out, guys, but say, why would you focus on such a small group? Maybe you're single again. Maybe you've been divorced. And a lot of times when, ladies raise their hand like that, they've been divorced and they'll kind of hesitate to raise that hand. Let me tell you something. If you're single again, you're not damaged goods. You're not second class to these other ladies that raise their hand that have never been married. Don't ever, ever let anybody convince you of that. But here's the deal. Single guys, you should be excited this morning. When I talk about five questions every single girl should be asking, but man, I'm trying to help you out, guys. I'm trying to help you out here this morning. You know, in my life, Jody and I, when we first started dating, neither one of us were Christians. We dated for a short time, and I've told you this before. And, I've mentioned this a couple times before, and we eventually wound up moving in together and lived together for about 8 or 9 months before we got married. About 9 months later, we both got saved, gave our lives to Christ. And, dating, as a teenager, through high school and college and after college and all of that, I don't know about you, but you probably did not learn about dating from your parents. The likelihood is this, that you watched the guys and the girls that you went to school with, and you saw how they connected, how they hooked up, and you took some cues from that, tried it yourselves, tried to assimilate, tried to put together something that looked like a date, maybe for prom or something like that. I saw some folks out last night that were on prom, and it made me think about high school and all that stuff. So it took me, that was a long time ago. I won't tell you how long ago it was. But here's the deal. You probably learned about dating more from your friends than you did from your parents. But I'll tell you that I had a revelation one day, and I don't mean this in a huge spiritual sense, but I mean I had an awakening one day that really changed my whole viewpoint about dating. You say, what was that? Emily, come here for a second. Come down here and stand with me for a second. I mean, dating for me took on a whole new meaning in my life. This is Emily. This is my daughter. My oldest, on December the 12th, 1990, when this girl was born. My view on dating took a whole new meaning. I can promise you that. Any dads in here with a little girl, you can tell, you will verify, you'll back me up on that. You say amen. It takes a whole new meaning when we have a little girl, doesn't it? Because here's what I want. I want to challenge you ladies today. And like I said, if you're single, you will love this. If you're married, this is something for you to consider too. This is not leaving anybody out, and you'll notice that as we go through this message this morning. But I kind of looked at this passage, I looked at this message from the vantage point of a dad with a daughter. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Thank you. I want you to do me a favor. If you're a dad, you have a daughter, raise your hand right now. Okay, a bunch of dads in here. Look around you. Every one of those guys with their hands raised is capable of killing someone. That's right. It took on a whole new meaning in my life when she was born. Ladies, listen to me very carefully before I dive into this. You have a heavenly Father who loves you, who is in Christ satisfied with you, that wants the very best for you. You may not ever had an earthly father that is that protective over you. You have a heavenly Father that is, and is deeply concerned about your life. And He loves you. You're His daughter. So with that, I want to dive into five questions every single girl should be asking. And by the way, if you stay in this theater a little bit after the service, the movie that's showing is Big Wedding. God has a sense of humor. Don't ever doubt that. Number one, here's a question you need to be asking, ladies. Am I who He is looking for? You see, here's the deal. A lot of women feel like that I am incomplete. That somehow my life is not quite right. That somehow my life is just not full enough. It's not satisfying enough unless. And one day, unless I have a guy, one day I'm going to meet that right one. I'm going to find the right one in my life, and it will be great, and my life will be great. That's what we try to convince ourselves of. That's what you try to convince yourselves of, ladies. But here's the thing. You have this attitude, well, you know, I won't need patience because when I meet the right one, He will never do anything to test my patience. I won't have to deal with my anger issues because when I find the right one, He's never going to do anything that makes me angry. I'm not going to have to worry about any of the baggage from my past or anything like that in my life. Because when I meet the right one, He would never do anything to hurt me or wound me. And He's out there, ladies, right between the unicorn and the leprechaun. And you know, you laugh because you know what I'm saying is true. Here's the deal with that, ladies. If that is your thought, if that's what's in your heart, not only are you in for a disappointment and you're setting yourself up for a heartache, but here's the deal. He cannot sustain the weight of that. He cannot sustain the weight of your worship, because that's what it is. In the New Testament, In the book of Revelation. And I'm not going to read the verse, but towards the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 19, John, who wrote down everything that God showed him, John, it says that he was on the island of Patmos. He had been exiled because he had been kept preaching Jesus. They boiled him in oil alive. It didn't kill him. So they said, well, we can't kill him, so we just got to get him out of here where he can't talk to anybody. So he's out on the island of Patmos. God comes to him. He says he was, it was on the Lord's Day. He was praying. He was worshiping. God came to him and said, John, I want you to write. Jesus came to him. You read it, book of Revelation. He said, I want you to write down some things that I'm going to show you over the span of time. And it says that he showed John some things. Well, while John was caught up in heaven, he was seeing some future events that were taking place and how God's plan was going to eventually be completely laid out, how God was going to return, how Jesus was going to return again. And as he's getting through that, he has these angels that keep showing him stuff, that keep showing him, hey, look at this, John, take a look at this. And one of those angels, after a huge event took place that John saw, and he started writing some things down. The angel that was standing there was so magnificent that John said, I turned around and I knelt down and began to worship him. And he said, the angel said, no, 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 don't do it. He said, I'm a fellow servant of the Lord just like you, John. Ladies, if you think the right one is going to make your life complete, that's called worship. You're worshiping. It may be, you may not have him yet. It may be an image of who you think he is, but regardless, it's worship. I'm telling you, don't do it. It will crush him under the weight of your worship because he was never designed to complete you. Only Jesus was created, brought to this earth to complete you. And the question for us is this: am I who he is looking for? The thing is, ladies, it is more important for you to be the right one that the right one's looking for. If you are the right one now, instead of trying to find the right one, be the right one. Because let me ask you, I'm going to just be very blunt. We're going to have fun with this morning. We're going to laugh some. But I want to be blunt right here in this one point. Ladies, if you ran into him right now and met him right now, based off of your current life right now, would he even notice you? Let's read Genesis 2:18. Let's dive into this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says this. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Incidentally, first time in God's creative process that he ever said something wasn't good. And all the men said to that, it's not good for the man to be alone. All the men said what? Amen. He says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Underline that word helper if you have a Bible. Or just write it down. A helper suitable for him. That's a very important verse. You see, God saw he didn't just suddenly occur that Adam was alone, but he wanted Adam to see something very important. We're going to talk about that in just a minute as we go through some of these passages after in verse 19 and following. But the word helper here, it talks about, as a matter of fact, it mentions it twice in the book of Genesis chapter 2 that Eve was going to be a helper to Adam. Not subservient, not second class, but one that would actually be a help in his life. That would be a part of Adam, but at the same time that would complement Adam. Let me ask you this. If God gave you to a man in your current condition, ladies, would you be a help to him or would you be a hurt to him? In your current condition, if God gave you to a man, would he say, thank you, Jesus? Or why me, Lord? Think about it, ladies. Let it sink in. Here's the deal. Neither of you, the reality is neither of you will have it all together. If you wait till you have it all together to get married, good luck with that singleness. It's like if you can, you know, you wait till you have, you can afford it to have kids. Well, you will never have kids. Isn't that right, parents? Kids are expensive. But here's the reality. Neither of you will have it all together. But you should fix your eyes on Jesus and walk with Him every day. Let me tell you something, ladies. The best way you can prepare for Him is to walk with Him. Be the right one. Instead of just pining your heart over and, oh God, I want the right one now. Where's the right one? Focus instead on being the right one. Today is the day you stop looking for the right one and start becoming the right one. Second question, am I desperate? Okay, I expected a laugh on that one. You know what? This is true. Desperate people don't normally make good decisions, do they? I mean, think about the decisions you've made in your life in a desperate moment. Would you chalk them up and saying, on average, they were better decisions than when I took just a little bit of time and thought about it for just a moment, considered and weighed the options? Normally, when you make a decision in a desperate time, or in a desperate situation, normally it's not the best decision. I was talking with a group of guys, met with a group of guys every Tuesday night. Guys, if you want to join us, it's real informal. It's about 6:30 on Tuesday nights, right over there at the E building, right next to Outlaw Furniture behind Sonic. We have a building leased out over there that we use throughout the week. Our students meet over there on Wednesday nights. Worship team uses it. We have some other small groups, a ladies group on Monday night. Ladies, don't leave you out. There's one that meets on Monday nights for you, 6:30. But I told a group of guys this the other night. I said, you never, ever, ever make a major life decision when you're sick, tired, hungry, or emotionally compromised. Never. If you're physically sick, don't make a major life decision. If you're emotionally compromised, don't make a major life decision. If you're hungry, I'm really speaking to guys there. If you're, what happens when you go in the grocery store hungry? You spend twice as much, especially a man. Man, it's a mistake for me to walk through a grocery store door when I'm hungry, because I will come out with three basket loads and I won't have two meals between them. But the reality is this, that we don't make normally great decisions when we're desperate. And let me just ask this question. What story do you want to tell your grandkids? I love hearing couple stories. When I do wedding, getting ready to do some premarital counseling for a couple that got engaged a few weeks back, I love doing weddings. I've said that before. I love sharing in that very special, important, and great time in their life. It's an honor. But I love to hear the stories of how people met. I told you the story of how Jody and I met. She was going out with a friend of mine that night. I showed up at her house and moved in. And by the time we got back home that night, a group of us went out for pizza. By the time we got back home that night, I walked her to the door and kissed her goodnight. It was supposed to be his date, wound up being my date, and the rest is history, as they say. But the reality is this, what story do you want to tell your grandkids? I've heard some interesting stories before. I've heard some very interesting stories of how couples met. But you don't want to tell the wrong story, do you? I mean, do you? Try this one. Well, kids, gather around. Let me tell you how Grandpa and I met. Well, all of our friends were getting married, and he was the only one left, so I didn't have any other choice. I know I could have done better, but you know what? I needed to get married, so that's how we met. Do you want to tell that? No, of course not. You want something at least a little more romantic than that. And our society, the thing is our society feeds desperation in women, doesn't it? Here's a good example. The TV show, The Bachelor. Now some of you ladies are going, oh, I like that show. Incidentally, The Bachelor lasted more seasons than The Bachelorette. Why? It feeds desperation in women. What's the premise of the show? How does it start out? It takes one guy, normally a good-looking guy. It probably wouldn't work too well if he was ugly and overweight and all of that, too old or whatever. I don't know. But they normally take a good-looking guy. They take, what, like 25, 30 women? You get the picture here? It's like a harem. And then he goes through and he dates every one of them. He kind of winnows out the field, kind of thins it out till he gets down to a handful. And then he goes on the real intimate dates. We won't go into the details there. Some of them get a little crazy. And then what happens? One of them doesn't get a rose. And she feels dejected. Can you see how this feeds desperation in women? I mean, do you see? I mean, it's just screaming. It's like I said, it's like a harem. Think about this. You say, well, it's so romantic and stuff. In 17 seasons, there is not one couple that is together. Is it working? No. Nobody wants to be second or third or fourth. He should work for you, ladies, and earn your heart, not the other way around. And some of you are saying, well, but at the end of this last season, Sean and Catherine, they're engaged and all of that. They're not married yet. Because the reality is, everyone is looking for happily ever after, aren't we? And it doesn't exist. If happily ever after truly existed, you know what I would say at a wedding? Y'all go be happy. If I do that, they may not make it through the honeymoon. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to always be happy. Instead, do you know what I tell them to do? Make a commitment to one another. Stand by it. Show love to that woman till the dying day of your life. You honor that man. You follow him. You be his biggest fan till the day he dies, and he'll go get you the moon. You do that, you'll make it. You'll make it. Are you desperate? Everyone is looking for happily ever after. Let me read Genesis 2 and following, because I got to wrap this up. We got three more questions. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 says this: Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, here's the statement again, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "Woo!" Now, he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." I love this last verse. It says, "The man and his wife were both naked." Amen. Amen. Married couples. Amen. "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." That's the secret, isn't it? They felt no shame. Because I know a lot of guys say, "Man, you know, I can get naked with a woman. That's not a problem." But here's a trick. Can you do it and neither one of you feel any shame from it afterwards? That's the trick. It says the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. What happened? Adam went to work one day. He was busy naming all the animals. God gave him a job to do. He said, "I want you to keep and take care of my creation." He said, "I want you to name the animals." Adam went to work. He came home. He went to sleep because he was tired from work. He had a long day of work. He was tired from work, not because he stayed up playing Guitar Hero all night. God made Eve. He brought her to Adam. Adam speaks and says, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." Did you notice something? Neither one of them were desperate. God didn't create Eve and she goes, "Oh, I need a man. I need a man. I need a man. Where?" I say, "Take me to the man. Take me to the man." No. We all know that girl, don't we? She's not complete unless she has a man or a boyfriend. But God brought Eve to Adam, and it was just a beautiful picture of how God brought them together. Here's some signs that you might be desperate. Here's a couple quick signs. Yes. Number one, you're asking guys out. Ladies, don't ask them out. Now, I didn't say you couldn't drop a hint. I didn't say you couldn't drop a hint. Be interested. Show you're interested. Because we're guys, we're thick-headed. Sometimes we just don't pick up on signs. You know, drop a sign, something like that. You know that verse I was reading the other day, Genesis 2:18? The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone." I thought about you. Don't be desperate. You know why you ask guys out, ladies? Because you believe that you're not worth pursuing. So you think you have to pursue a guy. Guys, pursue her. Set your eye on her, pursue her. You say, "We've been married 30 years. I don't care. You better keep pursuing her. Somebody will." If a guy ever pays my wife a compliment, if a guy ever does something that makes my wife feel special, besides me, I want to have done it so much that whatever anyone else does looks like a pittance compared to what I do. Pursue her, guys. Number two, signs you're desperate. You're sleeping with him. Sleeping with a guy that you're not married to. Women do that out of desperation. They do it. They'll sacrifice real intimacy with Jesus for false intimacy with a guy they're not married to. You say, well, we've been together for a while. We love each other. Look, ladies, if you've been together that long, he hadn't put a ring on it yet. Think about that. You say, well, you can't say it's false intimacy. How can, if it's real intimacy, do me a favor. Stop having sex with him. See how long it lasts. Stop. See how long it lasts if it's not false intimacy. It is impossible. And I'm saying this as lovingly. Look, I have a daughter. So I'm saying this as a father. Not as a preacher that's being condemning. I'm coming as an approach of a father with a daughter. It is impossible to pursue a relationship with God and pursue sexual immorality at the same time. You deserve better than that. You do, ladies. You deserve absolutely better than that. I'll never forget when Emily was a little kid. I don't do it as much now, and that's shame on me. But when Emily was a little girl, I used to take her on dates every once in a while. And I remember taking her to a restaurant in down on Poplar. It was a real nice restaurant. It's not even there anymore, but it was years ago. And but we went to this restaurant. It was just she and I. We were sitting there. You know, of course, I opened the door for her. She walks in. We sit down. I set her chair and stuff for her. We get the menus out, and we start looking. I said, what are you hungry for? She said, I like a steak. I said, well, baby, you get any steak you want. What do you want? She ordered the most expensive steak on the menu. I'm not joking. It was twice as much as the steak I ordered. But I didn't say a word. And you know why? I wanted to set her up so that any guy that came along that offered her any less would look like crumbs. Seriously. I'm going to say this. I tell a couple of guys this every once in a while that have sisters. If you have a sister that's not married, you're her brother, take her out every once in a while on a date. And show her what she needs to be treated like. Set the example. So that any moron that comes along and says, hey, you want to go to McDonald's? She's like, out of here, loser. I'm serious. And it's not about the money. It's about the fact that you're being treated special, as different. You're being pursued. I better go on the third question, because I'm going to get myself in trouble if I don't. Ladies, you deserve better than that. Amen, guys? Help me out, guys. Amen. Number three, here's the question you need to ask, ladies. Why am I attracted to him? You love those answers, don't you? Why are you attracted to him? Because you're thinking, he's an idiot. Why are you attracted to him? Here's the one I love. He's so cute. He won't be. Give it a few years. Age will take its toll on all of us. He won't be so cute. Oh, I love this one. He makes me laugh. Laughter's good in a relationship, but if you're only dating him because he makes you laugh, go rent a comedy. Save yourself the heartache if he's a loser. Oh, I love this one. And for guys, this is the one that we were so confused by when we were teenagers. He's just such a bad boy. There's a reason for that. And when you have two kids and you're sitting at home and he won't pay child support because he hadn't had a job in 3 years, you'll know why he was a bad boy. Because he's not a man. I love what one man said. He said, it takes a lot to be a man. That's why so few men do it. Someone said, if you won't think about yourself, at least think about your offspring. Having him for a father. Mom, don't do it. I mean, think about it. Give us a fighting chance. Sorry. Adam worked for Eve, guys. Think about this. Before he ever knew that Eve would exist, before he ever knew she was coming, he was preparing for his bride. He was busy. He was working. He was preparing. He was taking care of business. He was taking care of God's business. He was naming the animals. He had a lot going on. He was a very, he had a very great work ethic. And Adam was naming the animals, you know. But one of the things that came along was, as Adam was naming the animals, he kept noticing something. Okay? Dog. Boy dog. What's that, God? That's a girl dog. Okay. Rhinoceros. He was really intelligent that day. Somebody said, by the time he got to the end, it was like bird, cat, dog. Started out like hippopotamus. No. Rhinoceros. There's a boy rhinoceros. Okay. What's that, God? That's a girl rhinoceros. All right. What's that, God? That's a boy bird. All right. What's that? That's a girl bird. God, which am I? You're a boy, son. God, I need one of those girls. That would be nice, God. So God created Eve. I mean, think about this. He was preparing. He was, which scenario do you want, ladies? Do you want this? The guy says, I did everything I wanted to do in my life, so now I'm ready to just kind of settle down. Or do you want this? I have worked, I have prepared my whole life for the day that I would meet you, and I never knew your name. Which scenario do you want? I'm fixing to tell on myself and date myself all at the same time. When I was in college at Christian Brothers at that time, they had a snack bar in there. I'm sure it's still there. But I would go in at between classes every day, just about, at kind of lunchtime, go in and get I think I got a chicken basket or something like that. Whatever the cheapest thing was. You know, like college student, you know, whatever the cheapest thing that you can get a lot of on the menu, that's what you order. When they came out with a dollar menu at different fast food restaurants, every college student went, yes, finally. But I was in there. I would go in there every day, and I would walk over. Oh, gosh, I'm fixing to date myself. I'd walk over to the jukebox, and I would put some money in the jukebox, and I would play the same song. Man, you're talking about looking desperate. I play the same song, and then I would go over and play a game of pool the whole time. I'd play pool. I might even play that song again, so I would drive everybody in there nuts. But I played the same song over and over again. Gosh, sometimes you just got to expose yourself. I got to be real. It was Journey, Faithfully. And every time I heard that song, I said, she's out there. I don't know her name, but I will one day. And until that day, I'm going to be faithful. And that was hard. It was difficult. Here's your question you can ask him, ladies. When you think about why am I attracted to him, ask him this question. Do you love Jesus? That's a good first question. Not, are you a Christian? You're in West Tennessee. 90% of the people in West Tennessee are going to say they're a Christian. Not, do you go to church? That doesn't mean anything. It might be a reflection, but the real question is, ask him, ladies, do you love Jesus? You say, that might scare him off. Then good, save yourself the heartache. If that scare, if that question messes him up, he's messed up. And you don't want his messed up to be your messed up. Do you love Jesus? Say to him, look, Jesus is the man that it is in the middle of my life. That's who I love. That's who I worship. That's who I follow. That's who I serve. So I need to ask, is that who you follow? Because if you and I get together, then he is going to be the man in the middle of our relationship. He is going to be the one that we follow. And if you don't love him, then you and I are wasting our time right now. Get it out on the front end. Which leads us into the fourth question. Are there issues with him that I am avoiding? Better to confront those issues right now. Nobody likes confrontation. You say, well, that's such a killjoy when you're dating. Better to be killjoy when you're dating than divorced 10 years later. Better to do it now while there's no attachment than later when you're married. If it's a problem now, be sure of this, it will be magnified in marriage. Marriage does not fix your problems. Marriage magnifies them. Has he got an anger issue now when you're dating? It will get worse when you're under the same roof together. It will. If it's a problem now, it will be magnified in marriage. Is he unfaithful now? Is he flirt now? You say, well, when we get married, that'll stop. No, it won't. It might slow him down for a minute, but I can tell you this. He will have an affair on you. Don't be surprised. Is he talked down to you? Are you the butt of his jokes now? That will only continue in marriage. Seriously, are there any issues with him that you are avoiding? Because there's the famous last words. When we get married, he'll change. Ladies, does he change? Married ladies, does he change? No. Or this one, I'll change him. You're not the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can change a life. Number five, and we'll wrap this up. Is he God's best? That's the question. Do you look at this guy and do you say, this is God's absolute very best for me? It's the difference between eating crumbs off the floor and eating steak at the table. Ladies, you don't have to settle. You have, through Christ, you have a heavenly Father who loves you, as I said earlier, and who makes this statement that Paul records in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him, to Jesus, who can do far more than you could ever think possible or imagine for your life, does that guy really reflect God's absolute best for you? Does he work for you? I mean, work to earn a relationship with you. Does he work to pursue you? If he does not, man, you need to be addressing those issues. You say, well, I'm married to him now. Then come see me afterwards. We will get you. No. But seriously, if you're married to him and you say, man, there's these things, get some help now. Start working on it now. Is he God's best? Single ladies, dating, you may even be engaged. Do not settle. Don't settle. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Man, there's some godly men in here. There's some godly single men in here. I'm serious. Some of them showed up this morning, helped set up. Some of them are serving and stuff. Single guys, you're in here. Man, I can tell you. I can tell you the best thing you can do. Get involved in ministry. Get connected. Start serving. Ladies, don't settle. God wants the very best for you, for your life. Maybe in the past you've made some mistakes. You say, well, I've already been down the wrong road with that. Let me tell you, there's a brand new beginning here this morning. Today is the day that you stop looking for the right one and start becoming the right one in Christ. Maybe this morning, men, women, young people all over this room this morning, maybe this morning, if you were honest, you'd have to say, there's never been a time in my life where I've truly surrendered my life to Jesus. There's never been a time when I've experienced a new beginning with God through Christ. Then I want to ask you right now, in this intimate moment, with your heads bowed, that you would just begin to pray quietly to God. Just a prayer of surrender. Just something very simple. Just say, "Oh God, I know that you love me. I know that Jesus died for me to pay for my sin. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a new beginning today. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to you. Help me to live for you. Help me to follow you from this day on. Thank you, God, for hearing my prayer, for saving me this morning." The heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer just now, why don't you do me a favor? If you prayed that prayer and you meant it to God, just a prayer of surrender, commitment, committing your life to Christ this morning, do me a favor, just raise your hand right now. If that's you, you say, "Bodie, that's me, I prayed that prayer." Just raise your hand right now. Others of you, maybe, you know what, you say, "I know Jesus, but I've been walking at a guilty distance. I've not been living for Him. I've not been following Him. I've been following my own plan, doing my own thing." Maybe this morning you just need to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you just need to make a fresh commitment to Him and just pray. Just say, "God, I'm sorry. I've not been living for you. God, thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for never turning your back on me. God, I'm coming home this morning. I'm freshly committing my life to you, to follow you, to honor you with my life, and to live for you. God, thank you for hearing my prayer." If that's you, just raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer, something like it, just raise your hand right now. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to sing. Maybe you've made that decision where you've trusted Christ before. Maybe today you're coming. You say, "You know what? I've trusted Christ." Some of you, many of you sitting in this room right now, over the last few weeks, you've given your life to Jesus. You know what? We're having baptism after this service this morning. We've got some men and women going to be baptized. You say, "I've accepted Jesus, but I've never been baptized." You can this morning. You say, "Well, I didn't come prepared." We have everything you need. You say, "I didn't bring spare clothes." We have everything you need this morning. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, I say amen. We're going to stand to our feet. If you're going to be baptized this morning, you've already come, you prepared, man. I'll tell you what I want you to do is when we stand to our feet, you just step out of your seat, you come down, man, I'm going to meet you right there. Maybe there's others of you here this morning. You say, "I didn't come prepared to be baptized this morning, but I've accepted Christ. And I want to go public with that decision. I want to let the world know I'm following Jesus now." You can be baptized this morning. Make that decision public. We got everything you need. We have a bag we'll give you. You tell us your size, we'll hand you a bag with all those sizes in there. Shorts, undergarments, t-shirts, flip-flops, everything you need. We have other items for you this morning. We have towels, everything you need. If that's you, you say, "You know what? I want to go public with that decision. I want to be baptized today. I want to follow Jesus." Jesus was baptized. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. John said, "Look, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus." Jesus said, "No, I'm being obedient to my Father. We'll do this." John baptized him. Some of you need to be obedient to your Father. You've trusted Him. It's time to go public with that decision. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, we're going to stand to our feet. I'm going to meet you right there. Maybe you didn't pray that prayer a while ago and you still need to give your life to Jesus. Meet me on that platform right there. I'm going to celebrate with you. Man, we're going to shout this morning for you this morning. But when I say amen, we stand our feet. You just step out and you come. Father, all over this room, the men, women, young people, Lord, trusting you this morning, it's time to go public with that decision. It's time to let the world know that they're following you. Others here this morning, God, they still need to give their lives to you. God, give them the courage. Give them the strength. Speak to their heart. Let them know how much you love them, that you are madly, passionately, head over heels in love with them. Their whole life has been about this moment, this morning, when they would hear of your great love and plan for their life, and they would trust you. It's all about you, God, what you're doing in their life. God, let them respond to you this morning. Let us be obedient to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. I'll meet you right there. You just step out. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. We stand. You step out.